All right, take two. I just gave a whole frickin' spiel, and I forgot to hit record! So, that's okay. I'm gonna edit myself, and I'm just gonna be a little bit more quicker. Okay, disclaimer before episode 11 starts, okay? So, this episode was recorded before I recorded my episode with Craig. Check out the Stallone Podcast Network shows, and there's two shows I did there, one with Craig, one by myself. The one I did with Craig talks about our thoughts and feelings on the Instagram information, stuff that came out after the recording of this episode 11 of One More Round. Then I did another episode called The Fight for Rocky's Legacy, something to that effect. I can't remember the exact title without looking at it. And in that one is a really cool one because I received insider information from a deep throat close to Sly. I just wanted to give this little disclaimer. It has come to my attention that nobody's ripped me off. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to give you two things, one of them true and one of them isn't, okay? First off, the information I received from my deep throat is legit. That was verified by other people to me that also know Sly, and I'll leave it at that, okay? The deep throat told more than one person, correct information, or there's more than one source telling the same information. I'll leave it to you listeners to decide which one you think is true. Either way doesn't matter. Because I haven't named any names, nobody knows what I'm talking about, and I've given you two possible theories. So I just want to let you know that the other channels, like Viking Samurai, who I thought ripped me off, did not rip me off. They just received the same information I received from such a reliable source. Whether it was the same informant or a variety of informants is irrelevant, but the information is still cool. All it does for me, Ryan, is it makes me feel less special. I'm not as important as I thought I was. I never was. But, you know, there was a small part of me that's like, yeah, I'm fighting for Sly. But I wasn't. Anyways, I'm just back to being a ham and egger. Okay, here we go, guys. So thanks for all your support. Thanks for supporting the channel. I can't remember if I asked. Join our Patreon if you haven't already. I don't know if I talk about it in this episode or not, so I'm just going to say it again. Join our Patreon. If I do talk about it, I apologize. I'm not re-editing this anymore. Because the Patreon helps me, Ryan, cover the cost and fees of the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network and to the hundreds of hours I put in for podcasting. Basically, every 1 minute of podcasting is 10 minutes of editing. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And here we go. Start the episode.
It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round, when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I am your host, Ryan, and with me today, as always, is Katie and Kyle. Ladies first. Katie, how you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Ladies first. Kyle, do you want to answer that?
Is that a pejorative, huh? The baby a pejorative? Is that right?
What's a pejorative? Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I am doing good. It's a long weekend here. I think in BC too.
Oh,
here it's like a civic holiday called Heritage. It's a Heritage Day where it's we have like a festival, I guess, in the city here where there's like tents set up from like pretty much every country, and people who live here in Edmonton from that country kind of showcase their cultural items and food and stuff like that, and you go around.
Oh, it's pretty cool. That is cool. So you guys, that's what you guys are doing this later today, or you did that yesterday?
Well, you know what, I'm probably not going this year just because my three-year-old is a handful and this Heritage Days is usually packed, and I haven't been there the last couple of years because it has been canceled due to the pandemic, so I'll probably hit it up next year though.
Just put him on a leash.
Oh, you know what? I remember as a kid, I was incensed seeing other kids on a leash. I'm like, that is just bullshit. Now that I have kids, I'm like, Some kids deserve to be on a leash. I'm like, not all kids, but some kids do.
Let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome all those who join us in our Discord. If you're listening to this episode and you're like, gee willikers, I would love to be part of the Discord discussion. Let me just do a little quick public service announcement. So what Discord is just a social media, not even social media, that's not right. It's a communication app. So it's just an idea of where we meet to record. You'll see these videos on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and check out the link in our show notes, you'll see myself, Katie, and Kyle on YouTube. And then what Discord is the live recording. It looks just about the same on your screen at home, but you get to participate in the chat. So people like Dave and Donald are here right now, and they'll throw things in and say hi, or they'll tell us things, and then we comment on that during the recording, then you'll hear it in your ears. So if you want to be part of that discussion live, essentially, all unedited, or the jokes that don't land or aren't appropriate, you get to hear that live. You just won't hear it on iTunes. So check out our Discord. It's free. Also, if you want to support me on Patreon, I would appreciate that as well. What does Patreon give you? It gives you early releases. I'm actually doing really good with my editing. You get early releases of the audio and of the YouTube videos. So you get a little bit of an earlier start. So I've got people who email me, comment on the shows well before they're released to the public. What else does it give you? Well, it gives you a good feeling because you're supporting me, Ryan, with all the editing I do and the hosting fees that cost me $40 a month. It cost me to run this shite. So, because I'm CEO of the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, so I'm hosting all these shows, and it's not cheap. It's $40 a month. So if you send me just $1 a month, and 40 people did that, that would pay for the fees. So there you go. I'm going to plug that a little bit more because I want to guilt people at the beginning of every episode. So bear with me as I do a little bit of business at the beginning of every episode.
For $1 a month, you can support a starving podcaster in Souk, British Columbia.
I just got doxxed by Kyle.
And you get to hear him say, Willikers? Mm-hmm. That's G-Willikers. One out of the vault.
For $100, Katie will have a bikini shoot. I believe that was on the table. Katie, was that? Actually, just go to your Facebook.
No, that was me. You have to pay $200 if you don't want to see me in a bikini shoot.
That's what it was.
No, there were some people requesting to see you guys in the shorty shirts.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I'd do it for money.
I'd do anything for money. Okay. So, Sly, 2 weeks ago at the time of this recording, he released his Erwin Winkler kind of rant regarding the producer, Erwin Winkler, regarding the Rocky rights, Sly's lack of control of any sort. Apparently, it's actually called blocking rights, is my understanding from the research I did these last couple weeks, is that Erwin Winkler has blocking rights. So basically, it's complete control. My understanding as well is that Erwin Winkler's sons, they're the ones who are, of course, getting the wealth from the Rocky films. Erwin Winkler, the producer, has also done other films that failed at the box office, and the Rocky film money was used to mitigate the losses that Erwin Winkler as producer suffered because of his failed project. So he used the Rocky franchise money to recoup his losses of his own personal type films. Lastly, apparently, Erwin Winkler's wife, Margot, hates Sly because she wanted her sons to be self-sufficient and to take care of themselves through their own creations, but they've used Sly's Rocky money to become millionaires. And so instead of hating her own sons, she hates Sly. So there's some more background regarding that. I also got from a reliable source, I cannot say this person's name. You like all this, Katie? You like all this gossip and everything?
Why just me?
I don't know. No. Girls like gossip. I don't know. Okay. So I got from a very reliable source. He did say, there you go. I gave you the gender. He did say that I could quote him, but I can't say who it is. All right. So he goes on to say, this is about the legacy and the future of the brand. Winkler and his kids literally control everything with it. They have ridiculous blocking rights. They single-handedly stopped the prequel series and another film all because the wife hates Sly. It's a disgrace that Sly has no say in his own creation, and that's what it's all about. It's not about the money. He says here that Sly called this individual personally, and we spoke for almost an hour. And so this is everything he knows about the topic right now. He goes, Bill Chartoff, the other producer, he owns the rights and is totally on Sly's side, but of course he wanted to greenlight everything. He goes on to say that I can't stress that enough. It's about control. The Winklers could literally make a Rocky pornography film if they wanted. Bad example, he says, but I just wanted you to understand the situation. And Sly would be unable to stop it. That kind of gives you a little bit of a background. Now, this was before Sly, just yesterday at the time of this recording, posted another Instagram story. regarding the new news that just happened this week that there's going to be a Drago and Son spinoff series slash movie. Before we get into the actual our thoughts on this series or its potential, let me just read to you what Sly said about this announcement. He said, "Another heartbreaker. Just found this out. Once again, this pathetic 94-year-old producer," I guess he had his birthday recently because he was 93 on Sly's last post. So I like how Sly's keeping up with the proper age. So that's
yeah.
"This pathetic 94-year-old producer and his moronic, useless vulture children, Charles and David, are once again picking clean the bones of another wonderful character I created without even telling me. I apologize to the fans. I never wanted Rocky characters to be exploited by these parasites. By the way, I have nothing but respect for my true friend, Dolph Lundgren." I guess saying there that if Dolph signs on, he understands business is business. He has no hard feelings on Dolph's part because you can't do the Drago series without obviously Dolph participating. So I guess Sly is saying Dolph's obviously already agreed to do this or they wouldn't announce it.
Last episode, I had said that almost everything I've heard from Sly has focused on part, which I didn't like. And that if it was an issue of control or mystic, whatever, then I get that. Based on your conversation with you, of course, with the deep throat, we'll call it, I totally get that. Yeah, I get that for sure, because he created that character, and if their projects are getting stonewalled because of personal ever Sly has every right to be pissed off at that. I totally respect that. He's every right to be pissed off that if his projects are being stonewalled and someone is making new series that he's not, and I'd be mad too, and especially since he wouldn't have known and the rights. And I think what Winkler should have done is sold the rights back at a good amount too. I'm not saying he should give them back, because that's business. In reality, at the time, if 75 or whatever, Rocky could have gone bust. He could have bought those rights. Rocky wouldn't have went anywhere, and Stallone would have pocketed the money. Winkler, he made a good investment, and I can't fault him for that. But if I were Winkler, I'd say, okay, Stallone, I will sell you these rights back for X amount of dollars. It won't be cheap, but it'll be yours.
Well said.
As long as you're not gouging. Like, I'm not going to be like, I want $1 billion for this, but there's ways to appraise stuff like that. For me, that would be the fair thing to do. And Stallone has control over it. Winkler gets the money. To be fair, that Sly side of the story, we haven't heard Winkler's side. His emotions are valid. Everything he said on there is like, I would feel that way too. However, as a public figure, I might be a little more cautious. Because he's burned every possible. He must feel like there is no bridge to burn anymore. But
my thoughts are like swirling. I'm kind of surprised that he ranted again on social, because didn't he remove the last one afterwards? Somebody was like, hey, you should maybe take this down. And then he did it again, which was surprising. So glad that he didn't shit all over it where Dolph is concerned, because I think this is an opportunity for Dolph Lundgren and Florian Montano, as we had talked about how we wanted to see more of him when we covered Creed 2. So I think it's a really good opportunity for those two. So I was glad that Sly kind of recognized that. I actually kind of dig this, because I loved their story in Creed 2. I thought that movie may as well, I think we even maybe said as much, like the movie should have been called The Dragos. Because we felt like their storyline kind of stole the show. And so I very much wanted to see more of them. With that, I'm really happy about it. I did have some hope hearing the news that Sly would be in it. But I don't know if that is completely closed, given his comments, or what.
I know we have a different type of audience that listens to us. We got some audiences who listen to us, I won't say any names, who like hate Sly almost, or kind of like always crap talk him or something. So we've got that kind of listenership who almost revel in the pain this individual is going through for whatever reason. I think the balancing act, I think at the end of the day, there's a Sly fandom, Rocky fandom, but there's also the Church of Sly, which I know none of us three, I think us three here are pretty moderate. I think the three of us here have the same kind of moderate fandom, meaning like we love the Rocky films. I love the Rambo films. I know you guys do too. Kyle, he's becoming a new fan of the Rambo films. But the point is, we enjoy the films. I love Sly. But he's also human. And it's also a business, and it's not a quote-unquote about money, but nobody wants to just lose money, like Kyle said in our last episode. Like, even a millionaire, a multimillionaire, doesn't want to lose $200. That's partly why they're rich, is because they like money, and they don't want to have less, they want to have more. So, I've heard the comments in some of the sections of Instagram, greed three, and I get that, but part of me is like, here's the thing. It is a business. Movies are a business. Just like a restaurant is a business. Any company is a business. Nobody fixes cars as a mechanic because they feel good about it. You could be a good mechanic, but you're still there to make money. You know, you could be a good chef, but you still want to make money. I understand if Chef Ramsay creates a burger and somebody else makes millions off that, of course he's going to be hurt by that. He's like, hey, that's my burger. I made that creation. You're calling it the Chef Ramsay burger. You know, now you get to make it any way you want, but that wasn't the way I originally made it. You know, I made it this way, but now you're making millions off my burger, and it wasn't the burger I made. Even though Chef Ramsay is a multimillionaire, he might not like the idea of somebody else making burgers in his name that he didn't create and changing the recipe, and where it doesn't even represent the burger anymore. It's all these things, money, reputation, legacy, control. Everyone's right in their own perspective. Erwin Winkler's right. He's a businessman. He's like, hey, man, sucks. Sucks to be you. You sold me the rights when you were a starving actor. Now I've got them. I don't want to give them back. I'm taking care of my family. Sly's like, oh, man, sucks to be me. I should have sold you those rights. Give me a piece of the pie because you've been using my the money from the character I created for 40 years. They're both protecting their assets. McCoys. This is a Hatfield and McCoy situation. Both parties, they're focusing on their self-interest. Okay, so that's kind of where I land a little bit, where I get Sly. I get you, man. It's not that I'm Team Sly. It's just I'm a fan of Sly. I'm not a fan of a producer of movies. Like, oh, yeah, I love Erwin Winkler Productions. I don't care about him. As a producers, they just front the money. That's their job. The job is to make the project happen.
Winkler's saying, hey, kid, I run a business, not a goddamn soup kitchen.
That's right.
He runs a business. He also says, every bum thinks he has a legacy.
There you go. Perfect. And I get it. And then, of course, as fans, we're a little bit mad because we think at this time that, yes, we're hurt because, well, we know Sly's not involved. It's happened without not his permission, but even his say or his, you know, he's being pushed out. He's been put on Skid Row. You know, Sly's like, I've been giving you this product for 40 years, and for 40 years you've been sticking it to me. Oh, I don't know how come. Erwin comes back and says, you don't want to know. And then Sly's like, I want to know. And then Erwin Winkler goes, because you had the chance to become a good movie producer, but instead of that, it became a second-hand actor to movies like Get Carter and Driven. I don't know.
But from a normal shoot.
Yeah. You know, let's be fair to not Erwin, but Sly, no offense. You've made some really crappy movies too. There's parts of your own legacy and career that you did have control over. There was parts where you didn't have to sign on to Stop Her My Mama Shoot. You didn't have to sign on to Get Carter. You could have done other things earlier and better. So I get the Rocky legacy is yours. You could have created other legacies or not chosen such shitey films over the years. So it goes both ways, man. Like, we make good decisions and we make bad ones. But as a fan, I'm not going to sit here and just say that Sly is a god and infallible. But he's human like you and I. He just happens to be a multimillionaire human who's created a wonderful character. Yeah, it sucks that he doesn't have final say, but he sold that right away. And so legally speaking, he's screwed. It sucks.
Okay, I want to send a message out to Sly and Mr. Winkler here. I analyze finances for a living. I'd be happy to figure out how much those rights are worth. And my 5% fee, once you guys do the sale, I'll reinvest that partially into the podcast so Ryan no longer has to pay the monthly fee. It's a three-way win. Call me. Don't have a number. Just yell out the window.
They have to come on the show and you can mediate. Update. I mean, this is not an update. I'm sure everyone knows. But when I was reading articles about this, for those who don't know, the Creed 3 is coming out in March of 23.
That's right. And got pushed back.
Yeah. And then the Dragos will be sometime. There's no release date. But one thing that I didn't know, maybe I'm late to the party, is that Florian is in Creed 3.
He is?
So Victor Drago must be in it. I don't know if it's, you know, like a... Yeah, I'm not sure, but I did say that he was in Creed 3.
Well, let's get to the Discord chat. Of course, our Discord is blowing up with comments. We appreciate that from everyone. This is eventually we're going to get to the Rocky film, but I knew this would elicit a lot of conversation, which is why we're here. This is why people come to our show, because they know they'll get the honest truth here. The Red Comet 99, he's a new person in Discord. Welcome, buddy. And he says, here, more and more it seems that Sly hit some kind of creative control wall when they made Creed 2. I'm curious what the higher-ups pushed back on so hard to make him go scorched earth. I think with that comment there, Red Comet, I think what's happened is that Sly, well, we know he never had rights with the film. So Erwin Winkler has always given permission to Sly to do this or to do that. For example, it makes more sense now when Sly said he wanted Rocky Kid to die in part five. Erwin Winkler goes, nope, that's his blocking rights. He has veto power. He can say, nope, change the script to make it so he's alive. So why did he go scorched earth? Well, we know that in Creed 2 that Sly was originally scheduled to direct, that he announced it on his Instagram. That he was going to be the director, writer of Creed 2, but he got pushed out. They ended up only writing. Back to more live discussions. People are saying here, so do we not see Drago to support Sly? Ryan's begging for $1 a month, so he ain't crying for Sly. That's from Donald. Yeah, that's true. You know, look, give me $1 a month, you bums. That's all I'm asking for. And you get early releases of these episodes. Of course, now, you know, Donald's in Discord, so why do I want to pay a dollar when I get to watch this for free? All right, shut up. what else do we got here? So, yeah, people are saying it's frustrating. People can see both sides. Now, to answer Dave's question about do we see Drago in support of Sly, I'm going to watch the Drago series, and I've seen some people talk about this, whether it's a movie or miniseries. I'm not sure which one it is. I've seen people in Sly's comments on Instagram where people are like, I'm not going to watch this because Sly's on it. Look, I get it. If you look at the Rocky franchise as a Star Wars fandom, right, it's the same type of personalities that are fans of whatever, whether it's Rocky, Rambo, Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter. But toxicity is in the fandom, even with the Rocky franchise, which I find disappointing. Because at the end of the day, the people that are working on the Drago films, the people that are writers or directors or costume designers or all these people are just people like you and I who are need a job, right? So if you want to look at the movie industry as it's not just Erwin Winkler who's making quote-unquote all this money, the people who are editing, film grips, the caterers even, all these people, and then the people that make the food for the caterers, who grow the food, everyone's actually employed by these films and TV. They're people like me, you, and everyone listening. They're just people who need a job. At the very least, if you want to be like peaceful about it, Erwin Winkler's providing work for people. If you have any curiosity to see these films or productions, you know, you're actually providing people employment that furthers their growth or mortgage payments or whatever. So that's kind of how I look at it. Star Wars, for example, I've enjoyed the non-George Lucas stuff. So there's a part of me, not to say that Sly and George Lucas are the same quality of writers, but what I'm getting at is George Lucas created Star Wars, but he relinquished his control to Disney. But I'm one of those people that have quite enjoyed the Disney products. I've enjoyed Mandalorian. I've enjoyed all these other like spin-off stories and expanding the universe. And I kind of find it, I think it's kind of cool. It's too bad that Sly hasn't, imagine if he just said, you know what, I don't have rights anymore, but because I love my fans and they've been so great to me and their support of me, isn't it wonderful that the Rocky universe continues, that the Rocky universe is so big and so wonderful that it can embrace so many different artists' interpretations. Because people draw pictures, people draw artwork in their own interpretation of the Rocky character. Why not the written word? Why not the video form? Like, why is it we can draw an artistic rendition of Rocky, but we can't write about it? So all these things go through my head about what is art, what is stories, what is creation. And if Sly maybe just was more zen about it, maybe it would open more doors. Maybe he could get some input on it, but I don't think it's going to happen now.
The scene in Rocky V where you find out Rocky did not sign a tax extension, he signed enduring power of attorney, which ultimately was his financial demise. I wonder if that was inspired by him signing his rights away.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It is.
Like yeah. In real life, so yeah. Sly wrote.
Yeah, long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, so he, yeah, of course, he would have known that. Rocky V, of course, at that point, they didn't have control of the Rocky franchise, of course. So he's saying, interesting. That could very well be the connection of Sly wrote that. So he's saying, I don't have control of my fortune, so to speak. The Rocky character also lost control through a bad decision. They made a poor decision. Yeah.
Like, I just thought of that now. I'm like,
no, that's perfect. I think you're exactly right. I think Sly was showing everyone that he didn't have, even Donald, our faithful watcher on Discord, said that's a good point, Kyle. One last thing, and then we'll move on to the discussion of the movie. This is the one last thing. Remember last episode I was all happy that Sly liked one of my comments on his Instagram where I said the beast in the basement? But then I even said then that, you know, that was very sweet of him, very kind of him, but I think he's kind of generous about his likes. Now, I love Sly. I think he might like arbitrarily some things without reading what they're saying. I'm not even joking.
Because what did he like?
Well, okay, here we go. Are you ready? You ready? So if Sly liked comments such as, For example, here's one that he liked. I'm a Rocky fan. I won't see or support this. Official Stallone liked that comment. Okay, that's fair, right? You think, well, of course, that's a Sly saying, great, you're not going to see this product. Oh, someone wrote here, thanks for the info. He liked it, I guess. That's another one. There's more here. Someone asked here, was Creed your idea or Winkler's? Sly liked it.
Up till then, I'm like, this doesn't seem that arbitrary, but yeah, okay.
Okay, there's more. There's more. I'm trying to lead up to it. I apologize for the pauses here, guy, because there's a lot. Oh, here we go. So now, this is what I mean. It's like, Sly, are you reading this? I don't understand. So you like those, and that last one, why would Sly like that? We know, what kind of fan doesn't know this? This is what kind of bugs me. No offense to that guy. Okay, here's one. Coming from the guy who let Rocky V and Rocky Balboa happen, the franchise was lost 4 movies ago, Sly. Chill and just get on with it at this point. Sly likes it.
It's like your job for the next half an hour is to do social media. And he's like, boop, boop, boop,
yeah,
boop,
so
boop.
Somebody wrote, Dolph can't even box. Sly likes it.
What?
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah. That's disappointing. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Ryan.
I know. So there was a lot of comments like that where, especially that one, where the guy's like, Sly, get over it. And he likes it. So I'm like, okay. So now I don't feel as great about Sly liking my comment about the beast in the basement. So whatever. So this is what I mean. All this is just insane to me. But I wonder if somebody is assigned by Sly. I'm going to post this. I know that's him writing the original post. But I think he must task out the likes from somebody else. And somebody might be trolling him on his media account, liking comments that aren't supposed to be liked. It says here, Donald says, could have been worse. Hulk Hogan, in quotes, Hulk Hogan, retweeted some guy wanted to bang his daughter.
Is that a real thing, Donald?
It must be. Donald says yes. I think what he's saying is the yes, Sly writes the Instagram stories and posts those videos, but he might not be in charge of all the likes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I don't know why that hits me so funny, but
it is very funny. No, you're right.
I was going to make a comparison. Somebody else who seems to like his own daughter quite a bit.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we won't say who. Somebody in their 70s. Somebody who's very famous, and someone's daughter who's very pretty. Yeah. Well, we don't get political on the show because we've already lost.
We've already lost
a couple listeners on the show because we say something about this individual. Okay.
Oh goodness. There were a few happenings this week that I wanted to remember to bring up today.
Okay.
One is on the topic of Erwin Winkler and the Rocky universe. Have you guys or any of our listeners seen 1981's True Confessions starring Robert De Niro and Robert Duvall and Mickey?
No.
Or Burgess Meredith. Produced by Erwin Winkler. It was a 1981 movie. Robert De Niro plays a priest, and his brother is Robert Duvall, who's a cop. And Mickey plays another priest in this. They wear the weird outfits. I'm not sure if it's a bishop. I just happened to like watch it. I was like, oh my God, how have I not seen this movie? Because it's two guys from The Godfather. Right. And then it's two people from the Rocky universe. And Robert De Niro is one of my favorites. And I hadn't seen it before. That had a crossover. And then also, has anybody been watching The Offer on?
It's on my queue. It's on my queue.
Okay.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Well, for the people who haven't, it's a show. It's a fictional show based on the real person who produced The Godfather and how the mob is involved in that. It's great. I love it. But anyway, so they have actors playing Francis Ford Coppola, Talia Shire, et cetera. There's a scene where they go to Sicily and they're in this like old school, those 70s buses. They're driving to find a shoot spot. And Francis Ford Coppola is talking about his grandfather. He's telling a story about his grandfather, so-and-so Panino. Oh. Maybe everyone already knows about this, but it hit me then. I'm like, oh, that's where, I wonder if they use the name because Talia is his sister. So her actual grandfather, I wonder if that's where they got their last name in Rocky from.
Or Talia may have told Sly, hey, look, if you're looking for a last name for my character, my family's last name is Panino.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I love it. I love that kind of stuff. And I do want to see The Offer. And that was another episode of Katie's Recommendations. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know. I love it. I know a lot of podcasts do that. What are you watching this week? But no, I like hearing what you're watching.
Oprah's Book Club or whatever, when that's Oprah recommends.
Okay, so I forgot. We're ready to go into the film, but we're going to do our trivia. You ready?
Oh, shit.
Okay, here we go. Question 21. Play along at home. If you're on our Discord, do not answer in the Discord. This is play along at home, write at home, and keep score at home. Okay, here we go. What word does Rocky need help spelling when he talks to Gazzo? Question 22. Why does the person at the skating rink let Rocky and Adrian go skating? I guess he initially said no, but why does he allow it to happen? Okay. 23. How many years has Rocky been at Mickey's gym? 24. True or false? Rocky is holding dumbbells at the start of his run to the steps. 25. For how much money does Gazzo give Rocky for the date with Adrian? You can adjust for inflation if you like. In the film, how much did he give? Okay. All right. Great questions. And that brings us halfway to Rocky trivia questions and, ironically, halfway through the film. So, good stuff, Rocco. Again, Rocco was 11 or 12 when he made that book. It's called Rocky Trivia Book, 300 Questions from Rocky to Balboa. Great stuff. Question 26. Why is Sly so mad at Erwin Winkler? That's the thing. All right. Here we go. So we just watched Rocky and Adrian have coitus in his apartment next to the cockroaches and refrigerator. And now we cut to this wonderful building that we know so much of, Mighty Mix Boxing. I love that painting there. I don't know why, but I just love how that looks.
I do too, and I guess it was, of course, made for the film. It's not like they painted Mighty Mix over an existing boxing site, but I think whoever painted this did a good job of simulating wear and tear.
It kind of like looks new and old at the same time, because, yeah, you're right, Kyle. It was made for the film, so it looks fresh, but it also looks worn out at the same time. So that's the outside shot, but we know the inside shots of Mickey's gym, I believe, is in L.A., but the outside shot's in Philly.
Hey,
Farmer,
you got a fight coming up, man.
Yeah, I'm going to fight next month, January 27th.
Well, that's good, man. You come on down to gym, man. We see that you get in shape. How's your weight?
Weigh 175.
Hey, Rock, how you doing, man? Good. Hey, Mick was looking for you up there, man.
For me?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. He's looking for you, Zach. Get on up there and see him.
For our listeners there, if you could barely hear it, the captions help out. But you have this kind of guy outside. He's talking to other prospective boxers, I guess, who are kids or whatever. Saying, you know, what's your weight? What can you fight at? And then Rocky comes in. This guy who probably, like, middle management of Mickey's gym, saying, no, because he's looking for fighters outside Mickey's gym.
I didn't think he was recruiting. And it never – I just thought they were guys outside the gym hanging out.
He's asking the questions about your weight and stuff like that. How often, you know, and mentioned a fight on January 27th and things like that.
Yeah, and he's saying, yeah, come on down to the gym, we'll get you in shape. So that does sound like recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy's energy. I like that guy. That guy sounds so cool. I could never sound like that.
He's a natural networker, that guy.
Looking for you, Jack. Like, I can't say that.
And Babe, he calls Rocky Babe. Love
it. Yeah, like that guy, I like his positivity. I like his energy.
Hey, looking for you, Babe. Your name's Rock, right? I love that.
Oh, that's pretty good, Brian.
Thank you. Look, I won't be any more jive than that. I don't want to be accused of cultural appropriation. Okay. Donald just wants to say, Katie, that this has nothing to do with anything, but Katie's looking great today. So he wanted to let you know that you're looking.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Like I said, boys, Katie's single, ready to mingle. Oh, boy. We're gonna get you a husband by the Balboa. We're gonna get you hooked up by Balboa. Hey, it's three or four years from now, so who knows?
Okay, maybe not a husband, but we can talk. We can talk.
Boy toy.
Yeah.
We're gonna get off topic. Okay, so Rocky goes into the gym. Mickey's looking for him, so he's feeling pretty good about it. So, hey, Mickey's looking for me. That's great. I know we've mentioned this before as Rocky's walking through the gym. It's just a busy gym. It's just a hustle of activity, eh?
Runs a tight ship, obviously. It is way busier than when Rocky ran that gym or when Mr. Sparino was running it later on in the Creed films.
Hey, you got something for me?
Yeah, there was some guy here from Miles Jurgens looking for you. They need sparring partners for Apollo Creed.
Put me on.
There's a car.
When was it here?
About an hour ago.
They're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed, you know?
Okay, so... Okay, before we get to... Sorry. Okay, so I love, though, how... Well, of course, Burgess Meredith, incredible actor. But I love how the Mickey character is so blasé. Hey, Miles Jurgens here. Because you know he's kind of pissed off because he's like, of all the people, why are they coming here asking for Rocky? Because you're basically asking to – think of it like in the music world. Think of it like Bruce Springsteen or some huge artist, right? And like, yeah, they're looking for jam session. You're at a garage band and you're just kind of – you fiddle-faddle at some – garage music band bar or whatever, and the bar manager or whoever's like, yeah, you know, they're looking for keyboards for the Bruce Springsteen tour, and you're like, oh, they're probably looking for keyboards. But anyway, so like, he's kind of like combined blasé and probably jealous or envious that all of a sudden Rocky's got this in with the Apollo's crowd. That's a big get.
Huge. I'm trying to think from the perspective of Miles Jurgens or who people who work at his office. They've been given this name, Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion. Find this guy. All right, I'm going to look him up in the phone book. Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
no address, no phone number. Obviously, there's no social media or anything like that because it's the 70s. How does he know he's at this gym? I bet you he had to go to a bunch of gyms around Philadelphia. Say, hey, there's a guy named Rocky Balboa train here. And then he has to come down to, like, the hood, basically, and finally got this. And then hopes that Mickey... well, actually give the message. I'll give Mickey credit for actually keeping it in his pocket and looks for Rocky. And if Mickey really didn't like Rocky, really didn't want to succeed, he would have been just like, yeah, sure, I'll tell him.
That's true. I mean, we're going to see his feelings, but I think that's a good point that you brought up, Ryan, about how Mickey's so blasé. And he is probably like, look at all these guys in here putting in their all, fighting, trying to get better. Why don't they get a shot? Why does the second-rate leg breaker guy, he has talent, but he's not trying to utilize it. Why give him a break? He's not trying to be better. These other guys are, so.
Donald said in our chat, all these other people in the gym are about to get Rocky spinoffs. Oh, man. Who wants to see the Spider-Rico prequel? The Spider-Rico prequel! That's a tongue twister. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Dipper might get one.
Yeah. That should be a poll. What would you rather see, the Spider-Rico prequel or the Dipper sequel?
Definitely Spider-Rico. No doubt about
100%.
It.
100%. No one gives a fuck about Dipper.
No.
I always think of, like, Fun Dip. Remember the candy Fun Dip where you dipped a little thing in there?
With the candy, like, spoon thing, too? Yeah.
Well, it's like a little piece of candy, and then, like, you lick it.
Yeah.
And then you dip it into, like, the powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, oh, it's just
think of that. All sugar.
It's all sugar.
Yeah, it is all sugar. I also want to point out that Rocky's back at the gym despite being demoted to Skid Row. He's not allowing that to dissuade him from training.
With a cigarette, though, I do find it funny. Apparently, you can just, like, smoke in gyms.
Oh, yeah, anywhere in the 70s.
I was telling this, there was a guy in my office. He's born in, like, 1994. He doesn't remember restaurants with smoking sections. Like, I don't know about in the States, but in Canada... probably like late 90s, early 2000s when they shut that down.
Yeah, similar.
Well, 94, and that was 20 years after I was born. So it's a bit of time. So like when I'm 20, he's born. But I definitely remember you guys probably do too. Like going to restaurants, very common. Smoking, non-smoking, that was the first thing the hostess would ask or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd go to Denny's at like 3 a.m. after a concert or something like that. And then like the smoking section was packed. And then yep. The non-smoking section where you were had like 2 or 3 tables.
And it didn't matter. Yeah. If you smoked in the building, you're going to smoke. It's so funny how they have smoking nonsense. It didn't change. The whole place smelled like cigarette smoke. Okay. All right. So, so Rocky goes, oh, they're probably looking for sparring partners. He's all excited. And now Mickey's about to kind of crush his dream a little bit. He's pissed off. Here we go.
He's like, you moron. I just said that.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. No, it's okay.
You dumb dago. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about
looking
that.
For you. They need sparring partners for Apollo Creed.
Put me on.
Here's a car.
What was it here?
About an hour ago.
They're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed, you know?
I said that before, you dumb dago.
I said that before, you dumb dago. Now, isn't dago, is it an animal of some sort, or?
That's a slur for an Italian.
Derogatory.
It was used historically for either Italian or Spanish people. It's a derivative of Diego, which is just a common Spanish last name.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you call an Irish person a Mick.
That makes sense.
Their names always start with Mick whatever, right? Diego, a common Spanish name. They just changed it to Diego,
sense.
And then it also got used for Italians because both Latin lame brains, so to speak.
Donald said that Canadian immigrants get frostbacks. That's all right.
Oh.
Or frost feet or something like that.
Yeah. All right, so of course he calls him a dumb Dago, which is going to get Rocky a little bit like, whoa.
You know, I've been coming in for 6 years. The 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come. You don't want to know.
All right, there's one of our answers to our trivia questions. Whew, it's a good thing we...
Between 6 and 8, but I did pick 6.
Me too. So I've been coming here for 6 years, and for 6 years you've been sticking to me. I want to know how come. You don't want to know. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I want to know how come.
You want to know?
I want to know!
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Because you had the talent to become a good fighter. And instead of that, you became a leg breaker to some cheap second-rate loan shark.
It's a living.
It's a waste of life.
All right. Woo, Nelly. A lot of stuff's going on here. We know that, of course. You've got Mickey kind of telling the truth. Mickey's not lying, but he's not saying it nicely. He's angry about everything. He's angry about Rocky's lost potential. He's angry that the Creeds have come to get Rocky to spar as he sees it. He's also angry that Rocky is just pestering him and saying, fine, just tell me. You ever get into a fight with anyone, just tell me the truth, and maybe you regret that you heard that truth. That's Rocky's face right now. Like, oof, I don't know if I wanted to hear that. From someone that you love and respect. All these things are happening at once. A great scene, obviously. Great acting. But it also exposes a lot for both characters.
This scene perfectly sets the stage and context for their confrontation in this apartment. Like, I'm going to reserve commentary on this until that happens.
But you're right. So call this scene back. You're definitely right. This definitely is now... It's driven an emotional wedge between the two at this point, for sure, now. Because now they're both speaking that truth, and at this point, it's Mickey's turn. Baz said here, this might be another step sequence, because Mickey's on top of the ring looking down at Rocky. What do you think, Katie?
I had not thought of that, but I like it. I will go with it.
Okay. That elevation-type moment here, where one's above another speaking. Yep. Yeah, a great moment here. This is me speaking as a Sly fan, and we kind of mentioned it at the beginning of this episode regarding this. You got Mickey. Think of Mickey like the fandom speaking to Sly. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, you have the chance to become one of the greats. In fact, when Rocky came out, I believe it was Roger Ebert, called Sly Marlon Brando in this film. And he's right. Sly's performance in this film is amazing. It's incredible. It's revolutionary. It's a revelation to Sly's ability, his features, his handsomeness, all those things that actors are. You know, you got to be good-looking, chiseled, but vulnerable, all those things that Marlon Brando was like. Roger Ebert, the film critic, said, yeah, this is a new Marlon Brando has arrived on the scene in the mid-70s. As a fan, sometimes I get mad at Sly, and I've said that in all my many podcast episodes, because I'm a fan. You see this potential, and I get the anger that some people have at what could have been. And that's all it is. And so Sly has every right to do whatever the heck he wants. He doesn't owe us anything. I get that. This is me speaking as a selfish fan that he had the chance, Sly, many ways to become the next Marlon Brando. We know that he has that ability. We know that he's creative. We know that he's funny and personable. We know that he's, instead of that, he became an action hero to some second-rate straight-to-video videos on some of these, or scripts, failed comedies, where he should have just stuck to the De Niro Pacino route, which he had the chance to do at the beginning of his career, but he took the money and he ran. And so Sly could have had a legacy that will never exist now because he chose the money.
He still has the legacy. I mean, he will forever be known.
But I meant like a Pacino legacy. Because nobody, I'm sure Pacino's worth a lot of money, don't get me wrong, or De Niro. Like, I bet you they're worth probably 100, 200 million. I don't know. Someone would have to. I'm not saying they're not worth money, but you get what I'm saying. But people aren't talking about the failed ventures of Pacino and De Niro. Even though they have a lot of failed films, it's hard to explain. I think what's frustrating for people is that Sly had the potential to become more than just an action star. But he really dug in. He dug into that action star. If you never focused on the bodybuilding, just kept a natural. Think of like Clint Eastwood, Kurt Russell. These actors have nice physiques. Harrison Ford. Here's our men that, like, in their primes, they all had nice physiques, chiseled, but they were never muscle men. Sly kept that physique of just a chiseled, like, Rocky One type look to him, just chiseled, handsome, strong. He could have done shows like Nighthawks and all those type of films, which it seemed like he wanted to do, but then he...
Yeah, I agree. I do want to play devil's advocate on the Brando thing. So two thoughts. Like, one, I think he saw an opening that he could fill regarding the action, because not everybody is able to become the dedication that it takes to get down to, like, 3% body fat or so. Like, that's sure. insanity. Also, he's vain and admits it. And so, hey, I mean, if I put that effort into the way that I looked, I would want to show it off as well. So there's that. But then the sure. Brando thing, Brando kind of went off the rails and had a much shorter career than he could have. He kind of piddled away his opportunities and talents. Didn't he go off the rails?
Yeah, he had mental health issues and obviously gained a lot of weight. And, you know, so that a lot became a health issue. Like John Candy big, even bigger than that. He just became almost a caricature. I get that. But yeah, but I'm saying the talent of Brando was still there. But yeah, he squandered just through mental health issues. I don't think he was all there. Mm-hmm. I think his son was killed and things like that too at a young age.
Oh, okay.
So murdered, I think. Yeah, it's too bad. Anyway, so I got a good comment here. Baz said in our chat, he goes, totally hear what you're saying, Ryan, but Stallone was also a product of his time, which is fair. That was the 80s. Imagine if Stallone was alternate universe, was born today and created a Rocky character of today's world. You're right. The muscle-bound 80s propaganda-type films don't exist today. Chris Pratt, he's got a nice build on him, but he can do an action film, The Terminal List on Amazon, but he can also do dramas. And that's the physique of men today, that no one is the muscle-bound man anymore. Like, nobody does that. People have physiques and have, like, but nobody's big. Nobody's so swole that they have to be the action star. They can go back and forth.
Well, like The Rock, I guess. Like The Rock.
The Rock might be the only one that is now that torch carrier. But he was big because of wrestling.
His frame is so big that he has to be that guy in a film.
Ironically, The Rock stands alone in his own right, but nobody's competing against him. The Rock is a very unique character who would exist one way or the other without Stallone. Existing in the timeline before, maybe? I don't know.
Stallone, I really admire. Like, I don't have the dedication and the discipline to get as fit as he could, or the genetics, perhaps. That said, I do feel like he's an odd character to be a muscle man. He's kind of small.
He's even said that. He doesn't have the genetics for it either. I mean, he was like 150, 60 pounds. Yeah, he is small. I don't like the bulk. Like, Arnold...
Too much?
I like Sly that he's like regular... I mean, obviously, it's not all natural, but it's not bulky. It's just, like, incredibly chiseled and cut. Sure.
Oh, he looks fantastic. You know what I mean? I love Sly in the action films because I was a kid during that same time. Like Baz was saying, I was a product of that time. I was a teenager during the 80s. I didn't care about Marlon Brando or De Niro's acting chops. I do now. You know, I'm older. But as a kid, as a teenager, of course, I loved it. I loved the Rambo films, Demolition Man, Cliffhanger. Are you kidding me? Loved it. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I had more. That's all. You know, instead of Stop Running My Mumble Shoot, he did Beverly Hills Cop, maybe. Like, that's what I'm getting at. He should have, would have, could have, should have. I'm just saying, this is me speaking as a selfish consumer of his acting. I get it. He can do whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't owe me nothing. You know, friends don't owe. He doesn't owe me anything. He just, he can do what he wants. I'm just saying, yeah, it's like, think of a band that you like or an art or a music artist and they release a crappy album. You're like, oh, why don't you give me this? Not everyone produces gold every time. It's just, that's what art is. It's not everything's the Mona Lisa.
Tulsa King, I think we have a chance here. I think he's done a lot of things. He's tried a lot of things. He has his bread and butter. And just because I also love like mobstery, but like I love the De Niro route. Now that I don't have the body to, now I'll go that route. So I don't know. I think he's trying to remedy maybe not having the rights to The Rock. I mean, you never know. He could create a whole new era for himself here.
Yeah. No, I like it. Of course, he says it's a living, it's a waste of life. We should say, so in that silence there, Rocky and the Mickey character both look at each other. I think almost like, you almost sense that it's stinging Rocky. He's got nothing to say. He's left in silence. And Mickey turns away. There might have been a part of Mickey's like, oof. I dumped on him, but I ain't going to apologize. You know, I can't say, oh, well, I didn't quite mean like that. It's out. It's done. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You drop a mic like that, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah. Huh. Mickey's face, though, when he turns away, he didn't look as hardened. It was more like, no. Yeah.
We know Mickey, but if you're watching this for the first time, you only see a couple scenes of Mickey. He's an asshole. He's like, he doesn't care. Now you see that he does care. Obviously goes about it the wrong way this whole time. It is kind of a sadness or a disappointment. And it's like Mickey comes from an era where men especially don't share emotion. They don't have these kind of talks. You know, I know people in my life who don't know how to like empathize with everybody. Like they don't know this. That's not their wheelhouse.
Right.
Like, this aggressive yelling and shit, that's all they know how to do. I feel like Mickey's kind of like that.
Sure. Well,
very good point.
Very old school, yeah.
Yes. May I help you? Oh, you must be Mr. Rocky Balboa. Mr. Jurgens expecting you. Just a moment.
Now, I love how he walks into the office. The secretary, like, this is Jurgens' office, of course. I love how Rocky doesn't even say anything. He just hands her the card. Now, if I walked into MGM Studios and just handed them a card, here's a card. Oh, yes, Sylvester Stallone is expecting you. Like, I just love how Rocky gives no indication of why he's there. He just hands the card, but she catches on, like, ah, okay, this guy looks like a fighter. Because the card just says Mr. Jurgens. Yeah. The card just says Mr. Jurgens' office.
There's not a note on it. I know. She does infer a lot based on his appearance. And is he mentally all there? Like, I wonder.
She was probably tasked with trying to find him.
Oh, do you think she went to the gym?
No.
Jurgens sent this old lady to the gym. She's just walking through the gym. And then Mickey's like, hello, hey, you look pretty good there.
But she probably was trying to look him up in the phone book. She was probably calling around. She was probably doing... probably made the cards to give to whoever went to the gym. So as soon as she saw that card, I'm sure she knew. What I see here is this is a world Rocky has no experience with. An office world, anything like this. But he's from the streets. I'm guessing this is downtown. I know before we were arguing where this actually is. Whether it's even in Philly or if Jurgens is in New York or somewhere like that.
I guess Jurgens has an office in Philly. I just love how I love how everything... is in Philly.
Because Creed's basically promoting this fight. I think he just hired a local guy to assist in promoting.
Mm. Okay.
Philly's a big fight town, too, though. So it would...
True, that's true, too. But the reason why... the movie makes you think Jurgens and Apollo have worked together for a while. Because the way they talk to each other, it doesn't seem like this is their first time meeting in the events of this film. You get this feeling they've worked together for a while, the way they talk to each other.
Lou Filippo says to them... you both fought in Philadelphia before. Watch the low blows, watch the rabbit punches. In the case of a knockdown, go to your corners. So he says Apollo's fought in Philly before. Rocky, obviously, has only fought in Philly.
Right.
So I'm sure Creed's hired him to promote fights in Philly before. But anyway, Rocky's probably downtown in an office district in Philly, going up here, talking to someone like this. This is not his element at all. He has no idea what to do, what to say. Like, he is... a pretty clear disadvantage.
He does take his cap off, though.
You know, it's polite to take off your hat indoors. He holds it kind of like shy-like. But this is a horribly lit office. Is there no above lighting? Like, the light is hitting the wall sideways. And that little lamp. And it's remember those lamps with those hard creased lampshades? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Electricity isn't cheap. Jurgens is probably just keeping the lights low to save a few bucks.
There's no overhead lighting. I just love how it's all, like, projected to this. I know that's a film set, but there's, like, the lighting in this place is just dark brown. Everything's...
The wood paneling on the wall reminds me of, like, a basement in the 80s.
Mr. Rocky Balboa to see you, sir. Fine.
Do you think she's still alive?
100% no. I like her...
That was funny the way you said that.
I like her mid-Atlantic accent.
Mm-hmm. I was going to comment on that too.
Where it's like a hybrid between like an American and British accent. She's very prim and proper, even though she has like a secretary job or whatever. But yeah, I'd love to know her background.
Yeah, I don't think she made it to part three.
Will you please go in, Mr.
Can I have that?
Oh, certainly.
Thanks.
She's very matronly, very pleasant. Oh, certainly, you may have this card. I love how Rocky wants to keep the card almost like a memorabilia. This is a big part of his life. Like, he wants to keep the Mr. Jurgens card who represents Apollo. Like, Apollo's name's not even on that card, probably. I just wanted to point out the pictures on the wall here. So, Jurgens' office, does he represent other sports? It looks like field hockey there?
Yeah, soccer? That looks like old school hockey. When you see pictures of hockey teams from like 1912 or something.
Well, I think he's a promoter for just Philly or the Spectrum. So sporting events that take place there, because it looks like there's one that maybe is like an old timey basketball team too.
What's happening here is not how offices typically work. Very rarely are you told to just walk into someone's office. What'll happen is either Mr. Jurgens will come out to say, oh, Rocky, nice to see you. Please come in.
Right.
Take a seat. Or... Shirley or whatever, yeah, Shirley is her name, will come and she will open the door.
Yeah.
And Mr. Jurgens, here's Rocky, or Rocky Balboa is here. He's coming to get... Rocky, like, walking in on him, to me, that's weird. Somebody works at an office, I'm like, that's bizarre.
Well, he told her to send him in.
Well, I know. It's weird, though. Like,
you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. It's weird that that's their getup. But look at this. Is just a small film set. I love how there's just no room in this lobby. It's the desk. You walk in, desk, go to Jurgen's office. Where does she go to have her coffee? Where's her bathroom break area? This is it's a small set. His office is pretty big, though.
How are you?
George Jurgens.
Take a chair, please.
Thanks.
Mr. Balboa.
Call me Rockets.
This is also really weird.
Agreed. Super weird.
He's like standing over Rocky like Rocky's in trouble. Rocky almost looks like he's in trouble. Like he's like nervous. He's like, what, did I do something?
Like he's in the principal's office.
Do you have any representation? It's like, hey, do you have a parole officer? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's clearly showing they're not equals by any stretch. Get that by the way they're dressed. Like Jurgens is dressed like really well
to the nines. He's got the little handkerchief, the flower, the vest over, you know, underneath of his long jacket. Yeah
I'd say he's overdressed, which is not good, especially for just like a normal day. Like I don't know, like this is weird. Rocky of course is underdressed, but yeah, it's so weird how close he is to him, how he's standing up like that. He should sit in the chair next to him or at his desk or something. Exactly. Like, this is so bizarre.
The way Jurgens is talking and looking to him, almost like Rocky is some sort of, not subhuman, but almost like a novelty. Like, here's the guy that we pulled out of the hat. Here he is in front of me. So this is what he looks like. This is him. Oh, Rocky Balboa, this is you. This is what you look like. And there's a part of him is like, okay, we can do something with this guy. He looks all right. We can make it work. Because you see the dollar signs going off in his eyes here.
Yeah, imagine if, like, the guy you pulled is, like, addicted to heroin, and it's like...
Imagine it was Pauly that walks in or something. He's some one-time boxer, but now he's gained 50 pounds.
I saw a picture of Burt Young.
Oh, yeah. We shared that on our Twitter,
I saw it online on my socials, and he boxed in the Marine Corps and had, like, a really good record. Burt Young could probably punch out Sly in real life at that time.
Yeah, Burt Young was a real boxer, and he actually trained somebody. But he was a boxing trainer in real life, Burt Young, and he trained somebody here in Victoria where I live. Ruben and I talked about it on our Going the Distance podcast back in the day, that Ruben knew the person that Burt Young trained.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently, Ollie, it says there that it was trained by Cus D'Amato, which I found hard to believe. D'Amato trained Mike Tyson and a whole bunch of other really famous boxers. Like, Cus D'Amato's huge name.
He's a big enough name that I even know who he is, and I don't really follow boxing outside these movies, so.
Tell me, Rocky, you got any representation? You have a manager?
No, just me.
Yeah. Rocky, I've got a proposition I'd like to make to you.
A sparring?
Beg your pardon?
Well, I know you're looking for sparring partners, and I just want to say I'm very available, you know?
I love the way Jurgen lets him talk. He doesn't correct Rocky right away. I wonder what he's going to say here. He's almost, again, intrigued. It's like a king meeting a peasant. I want to hear how the common people think. Because Rocky, on the card, doesn't say sparring partners. They didn't say to Mickey, we want Rocky to spar. They said, hey, we're trying to get a hold of Rocky. Can you send him to our office? Mickey assumes it's about sparring. What else could it be about sparring? Tells that to Rocky. Rocky comes to the office with the idea that he's sparring. Tells Jurgens, well, I know you're looking for sparring partners. I'm not going to take any cheap punches, all this stuff. I'm available. But Jurgens lets him play along for a bit because he's almost amused by this. To him, this is like, it's just kind of fun to watch it. It's no harm.
Zoo animal.
Yeah, like a zoo animal.
Jurgens has backed off, giving Rocky some space. He is standing where Apollo was standing when Apollo was shitting all over Jurgens. Jurgens was sitting. So now Jurgens has taken the power position where Creed was there before us. Some may call this recreating your abuser in your mind.
Also, Rocky doesn't look at him. He's either has the inability or uncomfortable with looking like a person of authority power.
He represents Apollo. Don't forget. So think about it again. Rocky's world is boxing, and he's a bum. And Apollo's the king. Apollo is like the man. And Rocky's shy by nature. You know, even says that Adrian's shy, but actually Rocky's quite shy too in his own way. You know, he's quiet, subdued. So right now he realizes he also doesn't want to mess anything up. So maybe he's even just afraid to look at Jurgens because he's like, if I look at him, I'm going to say something wrong. I just want to say the right thing. I don't want to mess up this opportunity to box with because in his mind, he's like, after this meeting, I'm going to be the punching bag for Apollo, which in his mind is the greatest honor in the world to help Apollo train.
You're right. He doesn't maintain eye contact. And that's a thing with men, with eye contact. Say you're walking along the street, you run into another guy. If you make direct eye contact, it's almost almost like a threat. There's something about guys and making eye contact. And if you're two men in a business meeting, you're expected to make eye contact. Then when you feel like Jurgens is like so above you, not making eye contact to me is a sign of being timid. Rocky is, because he's so out of his element here.
Yeah, even though we know physically he can destroy this guy, but this moment, this is about power of authority, not power of strength. Yeah.
Sure you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sparring with the champ would be an honor. And you know what, Mr. Jurgens?
What?
I wouldn't take no cheap shots either. I'd really be a good sparring partner, you know?
You don't understand me, Rocky. My proposition's this. Would you be interested in fighting Apollo Creed for the World Heavyweight Championship?
No.
What I love here, of course, we know this. He says no because that's over. It's overwhelming. Think of it like I use Bruce Springsteen because he's like a legend. Everyone knows who he is. So think again. Imagine if Bruce Springsteen's management came to you and you were a part-time keyboardist, and that's a big part of his band. He said actually had a keyboardist pass away. He's had a couple band members pass away over the last 50 years. So someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, do you want to be the main keyboardist for the Bruce Springsteen E Street Band?" I thought I was just going to come here to tune his pianos. I didn't realize you're going to put me on tour. This is like in front of 30,000 people a show. So it's overwhelming. So a lot of people might just say, no, that's too much. That's too much. What are you saying here? This doesn't even make sense. I can't even compute. So Rocky in this moment is like, what are you talking about? It's insane to him.
I like the pause. He couldn't process it. And you see that in his reaction. What Jurgens said to him was just a complete shock. And I like your analogy with the keyboard thing. I'm trying to think of other similar analogies. Like, Ryan, you're a pretty good runner, right? Like, you run a lot. Ryan, would you be interested in representing Canada at the Olympic Games?
Nope.
Something like that.
Nope.
Like, what?
That's a perfect example. Because, yeah, now I'm out front and center. People are watching me. People think, oh, you think you're a runner, do you? Why are you representing Canada? I'd be like, oh, no, that's too much. I'm comfortable where I am.
And you're a good runner, too. It's just the Olympics, that's another level, right?
Well, I was just going to kind of build upon what you guys were saying about his overwhelm on so many fronts, because at the same time that Jurgens starts making the proposition, he steps up on him again, towering over him, and Rocky even kind of looks at him like, what the hell are you doing?
Crotch is right next to his face.
He's like, get off. And then he has to double take when he says what the actual proposition is. And so that it's like his brain is on overdrive right now from what's being said, what's being happening, his uncomfortable in this kind of a scenario to be like in an office setting too. I think Rocky sells this really well, especially with that long pause.
Agreed. So he says no, but then Jurgens goes into his spiel.
Listen, Rocky. Apollo, see you fight.
Lie.
He likes you.
Lie.
He wants to fight you.
True.
Well, it's just that you see, I fight in clubs, you know, and I'm really a ham and egg. This guy, he's the best, and it wouldn't be such a good fight. But thank you very much, you know. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Rocky, do you believe that America is the land of opportunity?
Yeah.
Apollo Creed does. And he's going to prove it to the whole world by giving an unknown a shot at the title. And that unknown is you. He picked you, Rocky. Rocky, it's the chance of a lifetime. You can't pass it by. What do you say?
Looks at the camera right there. I like that right there.
Also, the Adam's apple, he uses it so much in these movies. His nonverbal, his Adam's apples that play a lot, and I like it.
This movie is made at the precisely perfect time in America. What this movie really appeals to is people who maybe don't feel like they've lived up to their potential. People who feel like if they just had a chance, they could do great things. People have that fantasy where it's like a football game and the guy gets injured and they have to pick someone from the crowd and then the person comes out of the crowd and makes the winning catch or something absurd. Your everyday average schmuck, if they're given the opportunity, find greatness. In America at this time, it's not a good time. Economically, people are feeling hopeless. Unemployment and inflation in America at this time are higher than it is now. This is right after a really turbulent time in America. Like, this is just Saigon would have just fallen earlier that year. The Vietnam War kind of ripped America apart. This is the first real war America lost.
Are you saying that Rocky and Rambo worlds collide somehow?
Perhaps. America kind of needed a hero and an underdog kind of coming back, rediscovering its greatness kind of hero. This movie was made in 1985 or 1965, it wouldn't have worked. had to be made in 1976.
Timing is luck. We've said it a million times about this movie. The production, Sly Ryan, all those things combined. Because you're right, had he existed maybe in today's timeline, he wouldn't have come up with this idea because the world would have been different. It wouldn't have sparked anything in him.
Like in 1976, it was in question whether America was the land of opportunity. 1966, it wouldn't have been in question.
Juergens is like so creepy. The actor's playing a good part, but this Juergens is so creepy. Everything about him.
Because we know the truth. That's why I was saying lie, lie, truth. That's how businessmen work, right? The truth is, yes, Apollo wants to fight him. The reasons why Apollo wants to fight him has got nothing to do that he's... Apollo doesn't hate Rocky, but he's indifferent to him. He doesn't like Rocky. And he hasn't seen Rocky fight. Those aren't true. And Rocky must know something like, what? He's come to the church boxing area and seen me fight there? What's he talking about? I'm not televised. That might strike something in Rocky a little bit there, but he goes into the land of opportunity talk. It's a salesman.
Aesthetically creepy, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He looks very British, almost. Almost kind of a mid-Atlantic guy, too. Not that British people are creepy or weird
most
or something
British,
like that.
Most British guys are creepy. That's for our British listeners. We have a lot of British. I got a lot of UK listeners on this show.
He looks out of place. He's weird looking. But I kind of like him, too. There's something with Juergens I like. I better go. I don't want to cut it too close because I think management just texted me.
Do you want your answers to your questions? And then,
hey, yeah, let's do that real quick and then I got to go.
Yeah, Kyle's got to go, but I'll save my closing comments. Okay, here we go. So question 21. What word does Rocky need help spelling when he talks to Gazzo?
Del Rio.
Yep.
I thought that was two words.
Well,
it's a name.
It's a name, yeah. Why does the person at the skating rink let Rocky and Adrian go skating?
I put that he got $10 out of the deal and felt sorry for Adrian.
I put $10.
Maybe that's where our head is, but poor sweet Rocco. So we're all going to get zero on this, okay? This is Rocco's answer, and he's the author of the book. He says, Rocky lies to him and says Adrian's not feeling well.
That he felt sorry for Adrian.
Oh, you put down. Okay, I only put down the money, Kyle.
Yeah, same.
I just figured we all put the same, so my brain phased out the last part. So you're right, we all put the money, but Katie did say that he felt sorry for Adrian, so Katie gets a point. Okay. How many
Six years?
Yeah, we all got that one. Jeez, thanks, Katie. True or false?
I'm like, let's keep this train going.
Yeah, I got 2 minutes. We gotta go.
2 minutes. Rocky is holding dumbbells at the start of his run to the steps. Now, remember, I don't read ahead, so I don't know if he's referring to the training montage or the first run he does that first morning with the eggs.
That was bricks. The bricks?
Yeah, he actually wrote that false. He's holding bricks. That's right.
Yeah.
And I only recognize that because of Going the Distance podcast when I think it was me and Ruben were doing the training montage. We were breaking this down. We noticed in his hands, oh, he's holding bricks. I didn't even notice he was holding anything.
Yeah.
He's actually holding bricks from the junkyard. We all got bricks? Mm-hmm.
The answer was true or false, so I put false.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. It's false. False is the answer. Okay.
25, how many did you get?
Good. There you go.
50 bucks.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining. Bye, Kyle.
Katie got five?
Yeah. She got five.
I got four. Brian has 23. Katie has 22. And I have 22.
Wow.
All right.
Tight race.
Gotta go, guys. Bye. See you later. Thank you.
I have a good Sunday.
All right.
We're going to close up anyways pretty quickly. I just wanted to say what I loved about the end of this scene was Rocky doesn't give an answer to the camera. You know, he kind of looks at the camera, just kind of, or the audience, very subtly, just barely off camera, but he's looking at the camera. Of course, we love the zooming in that John G. Elson does while Juergens is talking onto Rocky's face as he's soaking this all in. I believe the next scene is him and Adrian on the couch, eating apples, watching the news conference with Paulie. And we hear, of course, the dollar amount, and we'll get all of that. But I like that they don't show it here. But after this conversation, of course, was the discussion about how much Rocky's going to make. So I'm not saying that Rocky took the money and ran, but he did. And that's okay. Again, he's human. And he could almost argue, again, this is the Sly character. Sly took the money and ran. Like, he sold the rights to the Rocky franchise to Juergens, who's Erwin Winkler. It's kind of odd to me how much Rocky and Sly's life intertwine with each other, even in this film. It's a very apropos episode where we see the Mickey character as speaking for the Sly fandom, who wanted better from Rocky over all these years. And then we got the Juergens character, who's like Erwin Winkler, saying, look, okay, fine. You don't want to fight? Okay. You don't want to give me the movie script? Okay. Here is more money. I'm going to give you more money than you'd ever see, i.e. $400 to $500 million today, which is true. You got to relinquish control. We're going to market this thing, blah, 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 blah. There you go. There's my little connection here because Rocky takes the money and he runs. He takes, you know, win or lose, he gets $250,000, whatever it was. So
yeah, I mean, and he's said as much. He wanted to write an underdog story, and you know, he used box to mirror his own life in acting and writing, etc. He used this boxing story. So yeah. Agreed.
We know that a lot of the story was written not on the fly, but it was. The script was being rewritten on the fly. The story itself wasn't completed at the time the filming started. In a sense, it was only like 76 pages or something. Like, it wasn't the full script at the time.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. You could almost argue that Sly could have written in at this point that he had sold his soul, so to speak, to the producers, because he gives it to Juergens here.
To the devil, as yeah. He calls him, yeah.
Yeah, the serpents, the vampires. I want to say for the record, I love Sylvester Stallone. I think he's a great guy. I think he's accomplished amazing things. He's an incredible artist. He's also human. He's made mistakes. I wish I made mistakes that gave me $400 million. But, you know, we all make mistakes. I know it's not about the money per se, but at the end of the day, it's just, you know, control, legacy. I get it. Again, I get it. If you're Chef Ramsay with a burger and it's a burger you made, why are the people making money off this burger and they're changing the burger and they're making spinoffs off the burger? It's not the burger that I created. This has gotten out of my hands. I didn't want this to happen. Of course, had Stallone known where the future was going to go, I'm sure he would have got a better lawyer.
Well, 2020, hindsight is 2020.
We can only do what we can do. All can look back at our life saying, had I known now what I knew, you know, blah, blah, yeah. You know, for then, I would have made, of course, and Sly's no different. This is the Rocky character. It's huge stakes. And nobody saw this coming. Even George Lucas, a little I understand, when Star Wars was made, they didn't want to make the film. So they said, fine, we'll finance the film or something like that. And George was savvy. He says, I'll give you full control of all the box office or something if you give me merchandising money of the toys and stuff. And the studio's like, these things aren't going to – this is a box office failure. This is going to be a garbage film. Nobody's going to buy Star Wars toys. Well, that was the thing. The money was in the merchandise, not the film. So George Lucas made billions off toys. So he did the same thing. He screwed over, ironically, the movie company because he got the licensing of all the merchandise, books and everything. Because he saw where that franchise was going to go. He's like, fine, give me the merchandising rights and money, and you can have the box office. And that was his deal. And it worked in his favor. And then he sold it again to Disney for another $4 or $5 billion. Anyways, crazy. All right, well, that's it. The episode is over.
I didn't hear no bell.
I just want to say,